And Shelley's going to come and give us our Bible reading for this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official, in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless somebody explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is God's word.
Thanks, Shelley. Thank you. Well, if you'd got that passage open, it will be helpful as we go through this together. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Now, Lord, in reverence and awe, we bow before it. We want to listen to you, the living God. We pray that by your Spirit you would open this passage to our hearts. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Acts every week, and I think I wouldn't make any apologies, and I'm sure Matthew, who's preaching, has preached over the last few weeks, wouldn't make any apologies, that these stories that we're hearing, these amazing stories of the apostles encountering different people, are not kind of random events, but they have a purpose. They link together. And we've been trying to tie together our particular series by looking at this verse at the beginning of Acts, where Jesus says to the apostles, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And last week, Matthew preached on another kind of staging post in that announcement that Jesus said coming through as the gospel came to the Samaritans. Remember, the Samaritans were a kind of a strange group, not quite Jewish, not quite Gentile. But it's just a sign that the gospel is going out. And it can't be stopped. And it can't even be stopped by the opposition that we see with this figure we saw last week, Simon. Simon the magician, Simon the sorcerer. We explained who he was. And again, as we said at the beginning of the service, one of Matthew's points was that we can't tame God. We can't manipulate him. And so it's this great story of Philip. And if you remember, Philip is one of these deacons. He was set aside to serve on tables. But both him and Stephen are amazing witnesses, amazing evangelists. And so we pick up the story today. And this is a very famous story when Philip meets this Ethiopian man. It's a very personal story. If you remember, Philip's been going around and he's been preaching the gospel to towns and to lots of people all at once. But today, the story is just about one single person who the Lord sends to Philip Philip is able to say something to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the end of the story is a really happy one. This man goes on his way rejoicing over what's happened. So we're just going to spend some time looking at this particular story. And the thing that I want to get across at the beginning as we look at this verse from the beginning of Acts is it's another example of Jesus saying and God showing and the Holy Spirit enabling Jesus saying, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. It will happen. And that's what we're seeing in the book of Acts. Those of you who are interested in physics, I'm not particularly, so I had to look it up, and I always get them confused. There's two types of force, aren't there? There's what's known as a centripetal force, which pushes things in. That's the right way around, isn't it? And then a centrifugal force, which pushes things out. Ola's nodding, so I'm thinking it's right. And there's this amazing centrifugal force in Acts that's just pushing people out. From Jerusalem, the gospel is going out. It's gone to the Jews, and now it's going to the Samaritans. And today it's going to go, we're going to see how it goes to another a particular person in a particular situation, and to the ends of the earth. And you know already, we know that that's true. Because there's people in this congregation from all kinds of different places across the world who have met with Jesus and who know him. In fact, I reckon, looking round, there's probably 10, 11 different countries, even this morning, represented, which shows that what Jesus said 2,000 years ago is true. The gospel cannot be tamed. There are no obstacles or barriers that can be put in its way. And I think this is a great story showing us that there are no barriers to the good news of Jesus Christ. There are no barriers. In our passage today, I think we see a number of barriers that the gospel, that God just kind of bashes straight through. A bit like one of those car chases in the films where there's a no entry sign and the car just kind of blasts through. And the Holy Spirit is doing that work in the book of Acts. So let's just be encouraged as we go through this story and see some of these barriers and how God just kind of smashes through them. The first is this. No oppositional barriers. By that I mean that the persecution of Christians does not and has not stopped the gospel going forward. When we meet with Philip at the beginning of chapter 8 of Acts, we've seen that Stephen has been stoned, Stephen's been killed, and on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Under great persecution, these early Christians do not hide away, but they're empowered by the Spirit and they go out. The persecution, the opposition, does not stop the Holy Spirit working and encouraging them and empowering them to speak to the to those in Samaria, or this dialogue with Simon. And Philip himself is ready. We see Philip all the way through. He's ready to do what the Lord says. And that's been true throughout the history of the church. When persecution comes, in the end, it makes the church stronger. And there's so many stories that we could tell about those who have been persecuted, where persecution has not stopped the gospel going out. And that is an encouragement to us. I do believe that we are going to face increasing persecution or hostility for being a Christian. But that does not stop God's plan that the gospel will go out and we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There is no opposition that can squash the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, there's no geographical barriers that can stop the good news of Jesus Christ going out. For those of you who want to see a map, because this is a thing where you maybe need a map. I don't often show maps, but here's a map. There we go. So this is where Philip was going. He was taken away by the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This was a kind of the main highway. And this Ethiopian eunuch, who we'll meet shortly, was on this road. He'd been to Jerusalem, and now he was going back to Gaza. And Gaza was kind of the last, the first century equivalent of the service station, where he could you could get watered before carrying on back into Africa, towards Ethiopia and towards the Nile, which you can just see faintly there, the tributaries of the Nile. And it's amazing that the angel of the Lord said, go to this road. And we know, don't we, from the end of the story, and as has been historically told, that this is the first time, or this is the time when the gospel then is taken after the Ethiopian eunuch receives the gospel. He then goes away rejoicing, and then he goes, and then he tells it, and then the gospel is spread. It's another amazing example of what Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Philip was a witness. He evangelizes to this Ethiopian, who is then evangelized, and then he becomes a Christian, and then he goes away rejoicing, and then he tells other people, and that is how the gospel spreads. Friends, this passage is telling us this morning that there are no geographical barriers to the gospel. It's another example of the gospel going out to the Samaritans and now out to the ends of the earth. The gospel is spreading. There are no geographical barriers. And again, I've already said that by the fact that we are represented here this morning shows that the gospel has no geographical barriers. We're from places all over the earth, because the gospel has penetrated those regions. Yes, there are still unreached people groups that we need to pray for and pray that there'd be support, that they would have the gospel in their own language, or that people would hear the gospel for the first time. But for 2,000 years, the gospel has been going out. And God does amazing things to make that happen. Now, here in our passage this morning, there are some pretty amazing supernatural things that are going on. An angel speaks to Philip. Okay, well. And then at the end, he kind of just like disappears. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. So there's some amazing kind of manifestations of God's Spirit. And maybe, and Matthew was talking about this a little bit last week, maybe those aren't as common as they were then. This is the establishing of the church. And maybe you think, well, this doesn't apply to me because I didn't have an angel speak to me this morning saying I need to go and speak to this person. Or the Spirit didn't kind of take me up in a cloud and take me over to Barnet where they need to hear the good news. But the Lord does engineer things amazingly so that the gospel can go out. And this church is a testimony to that. Some of you who have been here for a long time will remember probably one of the most bizarre Sundays that we ever had. In fact, I'm looking around. Paul and Shirley might have been here. I think Alan might have been here. This was probably about 2006 or 2007. And we used to have a church member here, a guy called Robbie Mumbar. And Robbie Mumbar came from Zambia. And he was very high up in the Zambian kind of embassy. We never quite knew what he did. He was kind of attached to the military attaché. He was a very kind of quiet guy. Didn't speak much. Didn't say much. Anyway, he was a great believer, a great supporter of the church. And at the end of one service, he came up to us and said, listen, next week, the president of Zambia wants to come to this church. We thought, whoa, this is a bit scary. The president of Zambia is going to come to East Finchley. And that's what happened. The president of Zambia came and sat basically where Kim's sitting. If you remember, the week or the day before, all these security guards came and did a full sweep of the building. But he was a believer, he wanted to hear the gospel, he was in London, and he said to Robbie, I'm coming to your church. So that's when Robbie came up to us and said, he's going to come. And the president of Zambia came to this church. The president of a whole country came to little old East Finchley Baptist Church. And that's not the end of the story. The amazing thing about that story, and we hadn't engineered it or anything, was that week we had a guest speaker coming from an organization called Project Timothy, which is about Bible training in Africa. And he was speaking that week. So an African brother was speaking to an African brother about the gospel going out. And we, at the end, we all said goodbye to the president as he left in his kind of big black car and all his kind of bodyguards around. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that you couldn't make that up. But these things happen all the time. You know, now that's an extraordinary event. But we know of so many cases where geography and kind of distance doesn't matter. And the Lord engineers things. The Lord provides things in his sovereignty by his spirit whereby the gospel can go out. Who knows what happened as a result of that president of Zambia hearing the gospel that day and the impact that that might have had here at East Finchley. There are no geographical barriers to the gospel. Philip was willing, and the Lord took him and said, I want you to go here and speak about Jesus. And, you know, Philip throughout the story is very compliant, isn't he? You're going to go, there's going to be a guy reading the Bible, a scroll, there's a chariot, I want you to run up to the chariot and speak to him. And Philip does all of that. No geographical barriers. Thirdly, this is working, right? No social barriers. I think this is maybe at the heart of the story. Who is this Ethiopian guy? Who is he? Well, he's a eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So, what do we know about this man? Well, an Ethiopian, probably not necessarily from the country of Ethiopia that we would know today. It probably refers to the whole of that area. And probably this man may have come from somewhere like Sudan. And we know that he was either born a Jew or he was a proselyte. He'd become Jewish. So he did have some relationship. He was a God-fearer. And he'd gone to Jerusalem. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh. And we know that he was a very important person. He had a chariot. He was riding back. He was very high up in the government. Wow, what a role he had. So he's a kind of an important character in the civil service, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. So here we have an elite person, a person who is almost at the top of their profession. But there's something quite interesting about him that you may not have realized. He was a eunuch, which meant that he had been castrated. He could not have children of his own, which in that particular culture meant that in some ways, although he had a great job, he was little more probably than an indentured slave. He was a bit of a non-person. Yes, he had achieved a kind of a certain level in society, but he was an outsider. He was marginalized. And it wasn't just the surrounding culture where he would have felt that. As someone who was a God-fearer, who was a eunuch, there was a big problem in his relationship with God. Why? because this man obviously knew the Old Testament law, and he knew the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, it says this: "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." This man was a God-fearer. He worshipped Yahweh, and yet he still knew that when he had gone to the temple in Jerusalem, he wouldn't have been allowed in. There was still a barrier. There was still a social barrier. Because, in this sense, he had been crushed or he had been cut. He was a eunuch. And the amazing thing about this story is that that social barrier is overcome. The gospel is for all types of people. It's for people who achieve the most that they can in society. It's for people like the president of Zambia. But it's also for people who are marginalized and non-persons, those who have been violated, those who are unable to have children. It's for all kinds of people. And I think this passage here, the Ethiopian eunuch, in some ways, sometimes we think of the story as it's about how the gospel meets an elite person. But actually, it's about how the gospel reaches this marginalized person. There are no social barriers. Thirdly, there's no comprehension barrier. Sorry, that's not really well put, but I think you'll get what I said, what I mean by this. No comprehension barriers. This Ethiopian eunuch, he's been reading. He would have come out of the temple. He had the money. He probably bought a scroll, which would have had the book of Isaiah. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And again, he's a very humble, honest man. He's not like Simon the sorcerer. There's a real contrast between Simon and the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading, but the thing is, he's kind of looking at the words, but he doesn't understand what's going on. Verse 30, Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage that he's reading is a particular portion of Isaiah. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. God has given the church teachers and other Christians who can explain the word of God. And that's really important that we understand that. That there are no comprehension barriers. We can understand God's word and we can understand what it's about. And all of God's word is pointing towards who Jesus is, what he has done, and what we need to do in response to him. And this is why we want to make Bible teaching and understanding the Bible at the center of our faith, of our church here at East Finchley, and why we think it's important to talk about Bible-believing Christians. Because it's through God's word explained to us that we understand who Jesus is. We understand what the gospel is. We understand that there are no social barriers or geographical barriers or oppositional barriers. This is so important that we understand Jesus as explained by the apostles and the disciples in the early church. I may have said this before, But the translation of verse 34, verse 35, in our English translations, I don't know what translation you're using, but it says something like, Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. But literally it's this, and Philip began that very passage of Scripture and spoke unto him Jesus. He introduced this eunuch to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, that passage about being a lamb led to the slaughter is about Jesus. And in fact, the whole of Isaiah is about Jesus. And in fact, everything that you have been going to Jerusalem to do and worship is about Jesus. And you know what? Now, you don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship God. Now you can worship God wherever you are. You can go back to Ethiopia. You can go back to the Sudan and you can know Jesus there. The gospel is going out. And that's a major difference from the Old Testament, where Israel was to be a light for the nations and the nations were to look at Israel. Now God's people go out. Jesus is everywhere. His Spirit is everywhere. And friends, it's very important that we understand that we do come under the teaching of these apostles, that we know the Jesus that is being proclaimed here. So, persecution can't stop the gospel. Geography can't stop the gospel. Our social status can't stop the gospel. And when we don't understand, we know that God has given each other and the church and teachers and preachers to be able to explain the word. A little bit of application as we finish here. Ooh. My thing stopped, Roy. Thank you. Can we just go back one? That's it, fine. Great. The first is this. I think as God's people, we need to be ready and waiting and willing when God calls us to go and to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I think that's just a natural application as the gospel goes out. Are you willing? Are you willing for where the Lord's going to put you? But secondly, I want to say this. And here, this is an amazing fulfillment, I suppose, of a prophecy. Look at the end of the story here. Philip wants to be, the eunuch wants to be baptized, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Why did he rejoice? He already knew Yahweh. He was already a God-fearer. Why? He rejoiced because he'd met Jesus. And in Jesus, he knew that not only this passage that he was reading was fulfilled in Jesus, he knew that the entire book of Isaiah was fulfilled in Jesus. And here was a man who was marginalized, who was a non-person, who, yes, was honored but also treated as a slave. But here is a man who knew his Old Testament. And so in Jesus, he could now look at this passage in Isaiah 56 with new eyes. And I've put it on the screen. I'm going to read it. Imagine that you are that Ethiopian eunuch. You're marginalized. And this is what the Lord says. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and all who hold fast to my covenant. He's gone one more there, boy. To these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. I'm sure this eunuch had read those words before and thought, well, this is all great, but how is this possible? Deuteronomy tells me that I cannot go into the house of the Lord. And I see that there's this prophecy here of a time when I will be able to do it, but I don't understand how that's going to be possible. And I like to think that this is one of the things that Philip explained to him. Not just this passage from Isaiah. It says that Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So this is why this brother was rejoicing. Because in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus, the fact that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, he gives people hope. People like that eunuch who had been violated, people unable to have any children, now is the promise of sons and daughters. There's flourishing. There's new birth. There's new life. What do I want to say to us here this morning? Well, just go back to the beginning of that verse, those verses in Isaiah 56. Let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Do you feel like you're a dry tree? Maybe that's how you feel about your life, your status. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning, but you think, oh Lord, I feel like that dry tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ says this morning, there are no barriers. Come to me. I am the fount of living water. What a great image. That eunuch who maybe thought he was a dry tree, he goes into the water and is baptized and comes out rejoicing, full of life. The man of Psalm 1, who is planted by streams of living water. This is a message for dry tree people. And that's why he comes out rejoicing, because it's such an amazing new birth that he has understood and been given. And I suppose if there's any of you here this morning who think, actually, I've always been a dry tree and there's nothing that I can do about it. And yeah, maybe you feel as if you can't know Jesus because you're too good for him. Or maybe you can't know Jesus because you're too bad for him. There are no barriers to knowing him. Come to him. Come and be baptized. Come and say to me afterwards, just like that Ethiopian was baptized, I want to show that I'm with Jesus. You can do that. The gospel is going out. It cannot be stopped. And of course, now we come into a passage in Acts where we're going to hear something even more scandalous. Not only can Samaritans hear the gospel, not only can God-fearers hear the gospel, like the Ethiopian eunuch, but Gentiles can hear the gospel and respond to it. And of course, we're going to come across someone who recently has just been being the cloakroom attendant as Stephen was stoned, who hated Christians. He's going to have an amazing conversion. And then we're going to hear about Cornelius, the first Gentile convert. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord, there are no barriers to your good news going out. You are sovereign. It will happen. It has happened. It will continue to happen. Lord, we know in so many places in the world there is persecution where people are fearful for their lives for being a Christian. And yet, Lord, time and again we hear stories of the gospel still growing. It cannot be stopped. Lord, forgive us when maybe in a minor way someone has said something rude about us, about being a Christian, or given an insult, and we think, well, that means that we can't speak about Jesus. Lord, no, this didn't stop the first disciples, and it shouldn't stop us. Lord, may we be open for where you want to take us to say something of Jesus to other people, because there are no geographical barriers. Lord, we thank you this morning that there are no social barriers to hearing the good news. Lord, we thank you for this Ethiopian brother. In many ways, one of the world's elite, but in many ways so lonely and marginalized, a non-person. One who knew that because he had been violated, that he was kind of left out. And yet we thank you, Lord, that the gospel is for all people, for those who have been violated, for those who feel like a dry tree. Lord, we thank you how this prophecy in Isaiah 56 is wonderfully fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Ethiopian could come out of the water rejoicing, a changed person, realizing that there was life and flourishing to be found in his new relationship with Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that there are no comprehension barriers. We thank you for your church. We thank you that you have given teachers and preachers and each other to help understand your word. Lord, we pray that we would continue to do that at East Finchley. We would continue to help people understand what your word is saying and how it points to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would meet him in a very personal way, that we would know him. We would be transformed by the Holy Spirit to be more like him. Lord, that we would understand that because Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter, that we do not face the punishment that we deserve, but we can know you, the living God. Lord, we thank you for these stories in Acts. We thank you for the way that they speak to us, they encourage us. And Lord, as we come to a new phase in the book of Acts, where we learn that the gospel is not simply for Jews or for Samaritans or for God-fearers, it's even for Gentiles. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and we come to it in reverence and awe. Amen.